In Christ, dear friends, brothers and sisters, not only here in the tent or the service area, but there along with the radio or the internet, grace, peace, and joy be added unto you through our Lord Jesus Christ and knowing Him. Let us quiet down with thanks and praise. Righteous God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this, that we have been able to quiet down and hear Thy word. And at this moment we thank You for all the gifts of life, of our home and our family and our friends, of this dear fatherland, of the authorities. But above all, we want to thank You for this, that in Thy Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, You have given us the basis of our righteousness. At the same time, You have opened the way to eternal life through the gospel of Your kingdom. Open up our ears to hear and in faith to receive Your word through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes in a letter to the Colossians in the first chapter, verses 12 through 14. I will read in Jesus' name. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Where does God live? Our weak mind cannot comprehend. We can think in some way that He is almighty, a secret Lord that lives in a different reality, in the glory of heaven. It is even more difficult to understand. And at the same time, He lives in his faith near us. The prophet Isaiah gives us this answer. I live in the glory and the heights and holiness, and there, in the midst where there are broken and humble spirits. The prophet continues, so that I would refresh the minds and heal the broken hearts to be alive. Familiar to all of us, our Father's prayer also shows of this when we pray, Our Father, who are in heaven. Notice this. There's a plural form here, not in heaven, but in the heavens. There is the grace kingdom here upon the earth, the grace heaven, and the glorious heaven in the glorious heaven of the residence of God came to my mind when I stopped a few days ago around the motto of these services, that God is the refuge of his city. This Psalm 48, there's also these words, high grow in the northern Mount Zion, the city of the King. And the prophet Isaiah predicts, at the end of times, this city will stand strong in the highest hill. All Gentile nations will flow there. Isaiah continues, many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, into the holiness of Jacob. He guides us along the way, and we want to travel his trails and paths, for the word of the Lord will come from there. and the word of the Lord will be spoken in this mountain. The treasure of the mountain of Zion is the fear of the Lord, and it is continued. From that mountain comes help, that true help to the sinful person. For the city built on this hill, of which the New Testament speaks, it is the heavenly Jerusalem that has come down here upon the earth. It is free. It is for all of us. It is the mother of all of us. Of you people here in the tent or in the service field, look at this picture or at the gate or at the motto. This isn't the city, the ark that is going above the people. I have been told that this ark, it signifies Christ showing the grace beams of Jesus into the hearts of people. And of this matter, actually, Martin Luther writes, let us see the kingdom of God as a gracious place that is surrounded and protected from the wrath of God, as the gracious space of the universe where there is grace and forgiveness, so that all sins are only a spark in a compared to a great sea. And actually of this, of the most important and the most precious matter, the children of Colossians, they were able to partake of. Then Colossians was located in the area of Turkey, 140 kilometers inland from the coast. This first chapter of Colossians, this portion that we read, has a lot of content. It shows many, it brings forth many central points of faith. What is faith? What is the basis and what is the destination? What has God saved us from? What does it mean that God's kingdom, this redemption, from the view of redemption? And of this, the apostle writes to give thanks to the Father that has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. They had received, they had been able to feel the joy of a believer, the heavenly joy, joy in the Lord, when they had received Epaphron, the friend of Paul, to proclaim the gospel, whose gospel had been to them a true power of God. They had been reborn from above, complete change of ownership in the heart had happened. The living Lord Christ had, through faith, come into their hearts to be their Lord and to be the King. The children of Colossians, there was true reality that faith is a true gift from God and an act of God. There's nothing of the person itself. God had cleansed their hearts by faith. With faith. It is a question of what Jesus, through his Son, what Jesus Christ had done and on our done for our behalf, and what he had earned. He that suffered and died innocently for us guilty ones, as a sinner for us sinners. All the burden of sin had been put upon him. The living Lord did not stop in the grave of death, but he arose victorious on the third day, opening the way to all followers into eternal life. Paul continues, God had saved the Christians of Colossians from the power of darkness. What does this mean? Doesn't it this mean, as it old, from the corruption which is sin and death and the enemy of the soul? What is sin? Is it our lacking that accidents, mistakes occur? No person can be perfect. Many people think. Many people think that on the bottom, people are good. And this view, humanistic view of people, it is on one hand beautiful, but unfortunately, it is contrary to God's word. Luther in the Old Catechism teaches us that according to the Bible, something completely different. Sin is the falling away from God and a bad attitude towards life, turning away from God, from the living God, forgetting life and forgetting God. Luther states that we can only love Him and that we seek for our own good. It is denying all that we like, that it is that we should live for God. Mankind's picture is comfortless. There is no righteous ones. There is no one that understands. There is none that seeks God, for all have fallen away. All have been unacceptable. There is none that is good, not one at all. And this intention towards ungodliness is inherited for all humankind. It is the natural state of the heart, and individual sins are only expressions of the illness of life. According to the teaching of Jesus, all the great sins and crimes are just the tips or the tops of the inherited sin in the heart. They are polluting our hearts. Nothing can wash this. It can only be washed by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, His atonement work in faith, through faith. Now we must understand and see. Sin is not only this, the bad acts of people and the quality of the mind. Luther teaches us those good things. Luther said that the good things that are done in self-righteousness, the holiness, humbleness, and a person can write or create a protection against God and use them as a proudness and as a device for them. And this takes a person deeper into self-righteousness. In the spirituality of the Pharisee, of which Jesus warned many times His disciples and asked them to be warned, it puts people higher. Paul warns at this end of the second chapter. It is a question of commandments and doctrines of men. Well, humility and neglecting the body, not in the honor of the satisfying of flesh. But in reality, they are a waste of time and satisfy only the proudness of man. This relationship with God is narrowed to obeying only commands, and it does not save a person. Truly, when Paul here continues, he has moved, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What is this kingdom of his dear Son, of which Jesus spoke of many times, and on Mount of the Sermon on the Mount, of which he speaks to seek first, and everything else, all other, will be added unto you? And why is His kingdom here upon the earth? First of all, the kingdom of God is in its existence. As we have heard here at the summer services in Loppi, it is not the drink and the food, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Lord, in the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, it means this. It means to the child of God, participation as living members of the congregation, of this congregation that is to enlightened the perfect merit of Jesus Christ. Our teachings teaches us the third form of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, creates through the gospel the congregation. And the Creed, the Augsburg Confession, teaches us, when it speaks of the congregation, it says, the congregation is a communion of all the members, where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are shared through the doctrine and work in the correct way. I have thought many times, in the old doctrine of Christ, why have they left these parts out? The unity of all the believers. Has it been making it more thin? Has it been weakening the words of Luther? This view of the doctrine of salvation and the congregation, they are joined in a fixed way together. A few verses later, the Apostle Paul emphasizes Christ as the head of the congregation and we as his body. The congregation, I say, can there be any closer unity than this? Paul writes to his friend Timothy, the congregation is the post. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. Paul writes of the world at that time, because in the Roman Empire there were many statues. There was the stand, first of all, and then there was a post, and at the end of the post there was a statue. The word Jesus Christ had been raised up to the top of the post. Without Christ, the post is worthless. Without the truth of Christ, that Jesus cannot be heard in the word without this post. And it is most important that whenever in the midst the gospel is heard, that rises the person from unbelief to faith, to belief, into the knowing of the true Christ. Paul himself did not want anything else in his life than to see the crucified Jesus Christ, that all that which strengthens me, and to know him, to see his strength of resurrection and the participation of suffering, that Christ, of which Paul writes in the second chapter of this, he has all knowledge and wisdom. He has hidden all these treasures. Truly in Christ, we have pure salvation. He has protected and guided us from death. Jesus set us free. This atonement of which Lestarius spoke, it is the deepest meaning of life. The opposite side of this coin is, Jesus suffered as a person. He atoned our sins. And he fulfilled God's demanding law for us, this law that demands on our behalf of all of our heart and mind and our soul and all of our strength to love God. The law is in us, but remember, the gospel comes from the outside. It is not ready in us. The gracious people of God still proclaim through the gospel. And the proclamation is not the simple teaching or learning, and not even it is not history of the events of over 2,000 years. It is the atonement, transferring the atonement work to this current day in the midst of the congregation or to here in to the heart of the believing person. And now here Luther would say of a blessed trade where the Lord takes to carry all our sins and gives in trade his own cleanliness, his own holiness, and his own righteousness. This righteousness, that which is before acceptable before God. Luther compares this trading as the courtship of a bride and groom, where the groom is Jesus Christ, gives a faith to the bride in the trade. And you can say in a secured way, as Luther said, all yours is mine. All that he is and all that he has belongs to me. And for this reason, the congregation of God is never a funeral track. It is a wedding feast, a joyous feast, people traveling toward the heavenly wedding. What a glorious trade this is. Jesus owns your sins, and you own his righteousness. He owns your shame, and you own his glory. He owns your curse. You own his blessing. He owns you as a sinner. You can own him as God's picture. He stepped down to your damnation so you can arise in heaven. He took your place in hell so you can get his place in heaven. Isn't this salvation perfect? This congregation now proclaims that you can believe as you are, all your sins forgiven from the heart of the Heavenly Father in Jesus' holy name and precious blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all your sins are forgiven. This grace gospel enlightens to us God's salvation towards all of us. This grace is God's final word, and at the same time, it is mankind's only hope. In Jesus' name, amen.